God's good. God's so good. I just felt something on my heart for this morning and spent some time researching and looking into some of these things from the Word of God. And let's pray right now. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. We thank you for the touch of the Word of God. I pray that it will find its mark in every heart. Help us this morning. Lay your hand upon us this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. And it's so good to see all of you here today in the house of God. I think that it is very, very important that we know what we believe. We are looking at a situation. I was looking at a little interview that was being taken amongst denominational church people, and they were talking about the new emerging churches that are taking place and these large congregations that are being assembled together. And one of them, the one in Texas, the young man there that took it over from his father, Joel Osteen, and they were discussing some of the things that he was making, comments that he was making, and that is that there really isn't much difference between the Christian faith and the Muslim faith. And it was so shocking and so surprising. And they also cited one of the books about having a blessed life and, you know, all of the prosperity doctrine and all of that that goes along with it. And in the entire book, it does not mention the gospel. It does not mention Jesus Christ. It does not mention the cross. Amen. And denominational people are being worried that the new emerging church, quote unquote, of our generation today is not going to be able to handle the rise of the Muslim faith. And whether that be true or not, I don't know. But I do know that among apostolics, we need to know what the Word of God has to say. And it doesn't come by preaching, but it comes by teaching. Amen. And the Scripture talks about teachers and teaching. And I was talking to Nathan before Sunday school this morning, asking him how things were going, and he's having a little bit of a struggle in American government. That's one of the most exciting classes you'll ever be in your whole life. Amen. And especially if you're going to become the next president or something. And he told me, so all I do is take notes, and it's so boring. And I said, well, I got to be honest with you. It was boring when I was a kid, too. And I don't even know if I'll ever use it, but at least I know what's a little bit of what's going on in the world around me and in my country. Amen. You'll appreciate it later. I mean, that's what everybody says. You'll appreciate it later. You'll understand it better by and by. But when it comes to the Word of God, we've got to have it nailed down. Well, praise God. When it comes to the Word of God, we need to know what we believe, and we need to stand upon what we believe. Amen. And so let's look at the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. I know we've already prayed, and so let's just, you can just remain seated, and we'll look at this word here this morning. And I believe in standing for the reading of the Word of God, but we're going to be reading more of the Word of God, so you don't have to stand every time I read the Word of God this morning. Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everybody said will of God. That means what God wills or what God desires, what God wants. Amen. And God's plan for our life. And so This morning I want to talk about the will of God, and it is very important. These are areas that are very important to us. When we talk about the will of God, we need to be careful that we look at it through the eyes of Scripture, because too often when we approach this thing of the will of God for my life, the will of God for my life, we look at it as something that we feel. We look at it as something that is mystical, something that only a few people find in their life, and so forth. And I'd like to contend this morning that the will of God is a whole lot more practical than that. It's a whole lot more practical than what you feel, than some mystical thing that you've got to fast 5,395 days, and all of a sudden a door opens up, and there it is, the will of God. I believe this morning that what we need is to see it from the Scripture, from a scriptural standpoint, and I believe that the will of God is practical, and it is very valuable, and it's not some strange thing that only a few people find in their lives. I believe that every one of us here this morning can understand and know the will of God in our life, and that we can fulfill the will of God in our lives. And so the will of God is expressly laid out to us here in the Word of God, and we can know it. We can know the will of God. As the Scripture says that we read this morning, that you may prove the will of God, or to test it out, make sure that it is the will of God, and so that it's not a happen chance, there's not a big question mark in your mind, and so on. But Paul addresses this, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech you, that means I beg of you, to brethren, and so he's talking to the Roman Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, if we take verse 1 and verse 2, these are different sentences here. And so verse 1 and verse 2 go together. He says that you may prove what is the will of God, the good, acceptable, the perfect will of God. And so we can look at it here in the context, and we can understand that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to prove the will of God. It goes together. They're in context with each other. And so in order to prove the will of God, well, let's look at it from the opposite standpoint here so I can make this point this morning as we get started here. That if we did not give ourselves as a living sacrifice, if we just decided we're going to be ho-hum about our walk with God, and we'll take it or leave it, we'll come or we'll go, there's no sacrifice, there's no presentation of ourselves to God, then God's not going to just say, here's my will for your life, and I'm going to usher you into the will of God, and you're going to become the greatest preacher that ever was. You're going to become the greatest evangelist or preacher's wife or whatever, greatest Sunday school teacher in the whole world. And we'll work the will of God out in your life when you're here. Amen. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way on your job. It doesn't work that way in your relationship. It certainly won't work that way in your marriage. It won't work that way with friendships. It won't work that way in the kingdom of God as well. The Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. And so we've got to be faithful in the little things, and we've got to understand that the little things are very, very important. Praise the Lord. And we press upon the young people that being faithful to school and faithful to your class and faithful to your study and all of those things are very important. But then and again, What about those of us that are pointing our fingers at them? Are we faithful in those little things? It's very important that we are faithful in the small things, and that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. That means when I'm tired, I'm still going to do the will of God. That means that when I don't feel good, I'm going to get around and do the will of God anyhow. That does not mean that I'm just going to come to church when the weather's nice. And I understand we have some elderly here this morning, and we know that, dear God, help us. We don't want them slipping and sliding on the ice. And I understand that, but we're talking about those things that we have the ability to do. When we have the ability to do it, we need to be doing it. Well, praise God. We need to be attentive to that as a living sacrifice. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, "I die daily." This is the great apostle. This is the man that wrote most of the New Testament, and he had to come to a place of presenting his body as a living sacrifice every single day. Amen. The greatest soul winner in the Bible, other than Jesus Christ, and one of the greatest men that ever walked in shoe leather. Amen. And he said, "I've got to die daily. I've got to say no to myself." And that's what being a sacrifice is. Sacrifice in the early days of the church and in the Old Testament as well was what I would call complete. Amen. There was nothing left of it. If there was a sacrifice, it was to be completely burned up on the altar. It was something that was completely destroyed, and it did not exist anymore. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:6, "Know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Did you know that's the will of God for us right there? That's one of the little things. That's one of, well, I guess it is a big thing for us in the beginning, but after you serve God for a while, you can get to the place where you can go back to that sacrifice again and again and again on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. Know this, that our old man is crucified. He didn't get a slap on the wrist. He was crucified. And that means his hands and his feet were nailed. That means that his side was pierced. That means that as the Old Testament prophets spoke of him, that he was cut off from the land of the living. And he was acquainted with grief and sorrow. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was bruised and he was beaten and he was rejected. Amen. And yet we want to serve God and keep our stuff, so to speak. Amen. We want to keep our past. We want to keep those things that we love. Yes, we'll get rid of the things that we don't really like about ourselves, and we'll work on those. But what about those other things that we really care about, those areas of our life that we're just not willing to change, and all of that? But Paul said, when we're talking about the will of God, the very first thing we've got to do is present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And so it is not just any sacrifice as well, but it is an acceptable sacrifice. Amen. And this is the beginning of our walk with the Lord and our daily life with the Lord. Amen. It starts out with repentance, and it becomes a presentation to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Lord, I'm giving this sacrifice to you today. I'm serving you today. I'm going to live for you today. I'm going to do the things that I know I need to do today. Every day I am a living sacrifice unto God. And that's the only way that we can approach Him. In the Old Testament, it was the altar of sacrifice. That was the very first place God knew, and we need to know that if we're going to be successful in living for God, we must get used to presenting ourselves to God. Well, praise the Lord. That's why we spend a lot of time at the altar around here. That's why we spend a lot of time praying. That's why we spend a lot of time in self, looking at ourself, introspection. And so it starts out with presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then it progresses. The will of God progresses, because you'll never find the will of God until you present yourself to God. Until you say, God, I give myself to you. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, I will serve you. And it's generally speaking, it's not a call to Africa, but it is a call to righteousness. It is a call to dedication and commitment. It is a call to sacrifice and service. Amen. To bear the burden of a good soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not to complain, but to shoulder the burden and carry the burden and to do the will of God. And that, the only way we can do that is to present ourselves. And we're not going to present ourselves to God by pulling out our our schedule. My schedule. Well, let me see what my schedule is. And Lord, I can give you Tuesdays at 3 till 4. Amen. Lord, I can give you possibly Sunday. Amen. That's not presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's not what that is. And it is throwing away our life and presenting ourselves to Him and letting His life be our life. Praise God. And so the will of God progresses as we prove it out. And Paul wrote about it here. He said to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. Everybody said holy. Holy, amen. Holiness is what we would define as spiritual purity, amen, and purity of life, a purity of life and a spiritual inner purity. And this is something that we do when we present our bodies to God, amen. It is very important to God what we do with our body. We're living in a generation that tells us that a woman has a right to do with her body that what she wants to do, and I suppose that is true to a point in time, but a woman has the ability that no other human being has, and that is the ability of procreation. And once that child is conceived in the womb, then the choices have ceased. Amen. And now we're in the will of God. And it is not the will of God for us to take that precious life, but it is the will of God for us to bring it to completion. And that's what we believe. Amen. And we do believe that life begins at conception. I'm not going to get off onto that here this morning. But holiness is purity of life and purity of spirit. Amen. The inward person and the outward person, that we should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Praise the Lord. And so it becomes inward and outward holiness. And the inward holiness has to be first. Well, praise God. It's got to be first. And when we get that inward holiness, that's what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will begin to convict you of your sins. It's amazing to me The Word of God is so powerful, and I won't go into any details, but when we are teaching Bible study, we talk about sin, and we talk about redemption and salvation and all of that, and they will come to me and say, I used to smoke cigarettes, but God's convicted me of that, and I'm not smoking those anymore. And I said, you know what, you're on the right track, because what you're doing is you're hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. If we hear only and we don't do the Word of God, then we are building upon a shifting sand foundation in our life. We must hear the Word of God and do the Word of God. And the Word of God speaks expressly about things in this life. Amen. It really does. And there are principles that we follow, principles of holiness, principles of dress, principles of what we allow into our mind. Amen. Because we cannot prove the will of God. The will of God is not going to come about when we don't present ourselves to Him, and then we are not concerned about biblical holiness, and we just live our life any way we want to live it, then there's really no change. What's the point in coming to church? What's the point in saying I'm a Christian and I love God if there has been no change? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that includes the women as well, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God wants to change our life, and He wants to change it for the better. It is foolish for us to think that we can just endure when pastor gets on a rant about something. Amen. And we can just kind of wait a while and hunker down, and after a week or two, he calms down, and we don't hear about it anymore, but we continue in our lifestyle, that somehow or another, God's going to overlook that. I'm telling you, you'll never find the will of God in your life if you approach the Word of God in such a casual manner. You cannot approach it that way. If the pastor or if an evangelist or anyone preaching the Word of God, or even when you read the Word of God for yourself, amen, and it speaks to your heart, and you see it right there, I'm telling you, there's some things we don't even need to pray about. Praise the Lord. The Bible says you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Lord, do I need to be baptized in Jesus' name? Well, I prayed about it, and the Lord didn't tell me one way or another, so I guess it's not that important. I'm telling you this morning, what we have in this Word of God is something that is very powerful. If it's in the Word of God, we need to consider it, and we need to do it. Amen. And not because we have to do it, and not because I can't do it, because the pastor says I can't do it, or because the Bible says I can't do it. It's like the boy that kept standing up, and his parents told him to sit down, and they finally forced him to sit down. And he said, I'm sitting down, but inside I'm standing up. And there's a lot of folks like that when it comes to the Word of God. Well, I'm sitting down, I'm doing it, but inside I really want to do it. Amen. I really want to go and do that thing on the inside. We need to cleanse ourselves of the filthiness of the spirit, of the flesh and the spirit being the inward, the flesh being the outward, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. How can we prove the will of God? Well, praise the Lord. How can we prove the will of God when we sit down and watch Hollywood? I don't know why it's so quiet in here this morning, but I'm telling you today, you'll never ever find the will of God and prove the will of God in your life when you sit down and watch those folks do their thing. And I'm telling you, there is nothing godly about it. And there is nothing holy about it. Well, praise the Lord. There's nothing that tends to lead us to spiritual purity on the inside. But when we get the Holy Ghost, when we receive the Holy Ghost, that word holy is a part of that. God is holy. He said, I am holy, you be holy. I want to hang around people that are like me, and we're not going to be like God. We cannot attain to the heights of being God, as some people say. We'll never get there, but we are striving for holiness, and we are presenting ourselves to God, and when God speaks to us, we do it out of the heart. The Holy Ghost writes the law on the tables of our heart. It's not that I can't smoke cigarettes anymore. I don't want to smoke those anymore. It's not that I can't go out and get drunk. I don't want to go out and get drunk anymore. Amen. I'm not excited about those things. And the things that we do are the things that we are most excited about. The places we go are the places that we are most excited about. Well, somebody help me here this morning. Amen. It is a example. It is the reason that we go certain places. We say things, that the things that come out of our mouth are really how we feel about things. Amen. We cannot have bitter water and fresh water coming out of the same fountain. Amen. It just doesn't work that way. Either the tree is good or the tree is not good. And the tree will be known by its fruits. And so what we've got to do is perfect holiness in the fear of God. Did you know the Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord? We've got to look at this. We've got to examine this in our life. It does make a difference what you do in the course of your week. Praise the Lord. And none of us are perfect. We've all failed. And thank God there's mercy. And we move on and we strive to perfect holiness. Because when we come and we worship, the Bible says, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Holy hands. Amen. When you lift up your hand this morning, when you lift it up to God, you know, the Bible talks about hands that shed blood, and it talks about clean hands. Amen. The priest had to wash his hands. He had to wash his feet. Amen. To symbolize that where I've been is acceptable to God, and what I've done is acceptable to God. And we can't just come with blood on our hands, so to speak, and say, God, I love you. Amen. We cannot lift up hands that have done things and gone, and feet that have gone places, and expect God to work out his will in our life. Amen. We've got to come with an acceptable sacrifice. Cain and Abel is an excellent example this morning of what it means to strive for holiness. And Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice to God. Cain did not bring an acceptable sacrifice. They both brought a sacrifice, but one was accepted and the other was not accepted. Well, praise the Lord. You got to consider these things. I've got to consider these things. Amen. It's almost like coming up to someone and saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, but I can't stand to be around you, and I'm out of here. Wow, that's going to be great. I'll send you a birthday card. I'll send you a gift at Christmas time. You know, we'll talk on the phone, and everything will be great and awesome and all of that. I'll tell you what, when someone says, I just don't like you anymore, I'm out of here, you know what? Sayonara, see you later. You know, it hurts, and I know it hurts God when we do things that are not pleasing to God, and then we come to the house of God, and we say, God, I love you. God, I thank you. God, I'll do anything for you. I worship you. And sometimes it's like God's just sitting there with his arms crossed, looking out, you know, not even really hearing a word that we say, because it doesn't have any back to it. It's not backed up by the way we have lived. Well, praise God. And one was told, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Go and trade with your brother and offer a lamb as a sacrifice. I'll accept it. Change your attitude and I'll accept it. Amen. If you'll do well, if you will do well, so much for those that say works are not that important. God wants us to do well. He wants us to have a sacrifice that is acceptable unto Him. Amen. We're talking about the will of God this morning. You're finding out real quick that it's very practical. Amen. Because when we present ourselves to God and we strive for holiness, amen, then we can say, I'm in the will of God. Because Paul said this leads up to the will of God, approving the will of God. Well, praise the Lord. I got to ask myself the question, am I pleasing to God? Amen. I want to please Him. Speak to me, Lord, about those things that are deeply embedded in my life. Amen. Let the preacher preach. Let the Word of God be a two-edged sword that gets down into the joints and the marrow. Amen. Now, that's pretty intrusive. I used to work in a welding shop, and I got this package of things, and we were supposed to weld a handle on the end of this long rod. It was a stainless steel rod. There was one about that long, one about that long. And it had a groove that was cut in one end of it, and it was tapered down to kind of a point, rounded, kind of soft, round. And I had to weld a handle on the end of it. And so I welded the handles on. It was stainless steel, surgical stainless steel. And I welded the handles on, and then I asked, what are these things used for? What are they doing with this? What is this? They said, oh, that's for bone marrow transplants. And they take that rod and they shove it into the bone and all the marrow comes into that little groove that's cut in there. They pull it out and they've got somebody's marrow and then they put it back, shove it into somebody else's bone. And in order to do that, they've got to cut you open and they've got to make an access hole and they've got to, I can see some of you are getting weak-kneed right now. I'll stop. And I thought, they actually do these things. There's a room somewhere where somebody does these things. And you know what? The only way they're going to be allowed to do that is if somebody gives consent. Oh, well, we think we're going to try this out. Come on back here to this back room. Lay down on that bed, and we'll see if this works or not. I don't think so. Amen. We was at the hospital the other day, and they was someone was telling us, oh, well, the doctor came in and said, you know, you're going to have a lot of problems with this foot, and you know, it may not heal, and there's going to be this kind of difficulty and that difficulty down the road. Probably the best thing we could do is just cut it off. No. And, yeah, that's what she said. You ain't doing that to me. If there's anything left, I want my foot. Amen. And you know what? If we're going to let God work in our lives, He's going to have to get down into the marrow. That's right. That's right. And the only way that's ever going to happen is there's got to be consent. Well, praise the Lord. You can do it. I'll let you do it. I'll change my life. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, Lord. But there are times that we say, you know what? I like the marrow that's in my bones. I'll just keep it. Thank you. Have a nice day. Amen. And then we'll go to another doctor that says, oh, that's no problem. Just take a couple aspirins and give me a couple $100 and everything will be all right. Amen. I'm telling you, you don't need that kind of a doctor. You really don't. And way back in the early 60s, I think it was, there was a test that the government did on African-American people. And it's verifiable. They actually did this. And if an African-American man came in with syphilis, the doctor was instructed to just to treat the symptoms, give him some aspirin and so on and so forth, and actually let this individual die from it and record what took place so that they would know the extent of this disease. And it happened in America. It's a shame what happened. But you know what? It happens every day in churches. When folks pat you on the back and say, oh, it's all right, honey, all you got to do is give God lip service and say, I accept you as my personal Savior. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to change the way you live. There is no holiness that is required before God. And everybody's all happy and excited. We can live any way we want to live, and we can still go to heaven. But I'm telling you, there is a disease on the inside that is growing and growing and growing. And before you know it, we're going to be standing before God. We ought to thank God for the Word of God this morning. And we need to get it down in our hearts and understand what real holiness means. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is offering to God a sacrifice that is acceptable. Amen. The Bible says that this is our reasonable service. That's the scripture that we read this morning. Praise the Lord. And so Paul steps up from the basics of the will of God, and he goes into nonconformity. Everybody said nonconformity. You know what that means, right? You know what that means, Nathan? You know what that means, Garrett? All right. To conform means to fit in. If everybody's doing it, I'm going to do it. If everybody's going this way, then I'm going to go that way. I'm going to conform to society. I'm going to conform to Hollywood. I'm going to conform to the president. I'm going to conform to the government. I'm going to conform to whatever it is that you want to talk about. We're going to conform to something, and the Bible says that we are to be not conformed to this world. And so the world then represents everything that is against holiness. The world, you look at the world in the scriptures, and if you'll do a study about the world, there's nothing positive. The Bible says the world is going to pass away, the lust thereof, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so the will of God is to not be a conformist. Amen. I'm conforming to everything. Well, that's not going to work. You're going to have to make up your mind who you really are at some point. And you're going to have to make up your mind what you really love more than anything at some point. Amen. Like the guy that was, two guys that was going down the road with a donkey. And I've told this before. And praise the Lord. And one was riding the donkey and the other was leading the donkey. And so they got to a point and somebody said, what are you doing leading that donkey and him riding? You need to ride and let him lead it. Oh, okay. So he got on the donkey and the other guy led the donkey and they went down the road a little ways and they met somebody else and they said, what are you doing riding that donkey? Both of you guys need to be walking. And, oh, okay, so he got off, and they both walked and led the donkey, and they came to somebody else, and they said, what are you guys doing walking? And that donkey doesn't have any burden. Both of you guys need to be on that donkey. And so, oh, okay, so they both got on the donkey, and they went a little ways, and somebody said, what are you doing laying that burden on that donkey? You guys need to be carrying that donkey. So they picked up the donkey, and they carried the donkey. Some folks are like that. Wherever they are and whatever anybody says, that's what they're going to do. But you know what? As Bible-believing and Bible-understanding people, we've got to conform to the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. And some folks think that thy word, O Hollywood, is forever settled in heaven. But it's not. It's not. It's just a group of deviant people that have perverted lifestyles that are trying to profess and promote and have gotten to the place where if you call yourself a Christian, somebody said just this last week, I believe it is, that people that hear from Jesus have mental illness. That's what they're saying now, that if you hear from Jesus, you're mentally ill. Well, I'm a mentally ill person speaking to mentally ill people here this morning. Praise God. And don't you go and repeat that now. Praise God. Our pastor's mentally ill. He said so from the pulpit. Praise God. That's not the way it works. But that's where you get to when you don't have a moral foundation. And so they feel like they can judge and they can say what's mentally ill and what isn't mentally ill. And the truth of the matter is they've got a long ways to go to understand what's right and what's prudent and what is acceptable just for a society to survive. Amen. We are looking at a situation in our society where we've got great problems. I know there's lots of jobs being created and everything's going great economically, but we have yet to address the matter of sin in America. And it'll just go back again, and the next time it goes back, it'll be even worse. And until there is destruction. Amen. And so that's what nonconformity is. Do you know what nonconformity is, Nathan? Kind of, sort of. What that means is if the guys at school are out running around doing things, that means that you don't do it because you're not going to conform to them. You know what nonconformity means now, Garrett? All right. It means I'm not going to conform. Do you know, understand it this morning? Yeah, I get a weak nod there. Now, that's okay. I'm just picking on these guys. You know what it means, Hunter? All right. You know what it means, Gavin? All right. I'm sure Josh understands what it means this morning. See there? Praise God. I'm not going to conform to this world. If they tell me I've got to do a certain thing that's not pleasing to God, I don't have to do it. Like the three Hebrew boys that said, "We are not careful to answer thee, O King." And everybody was bowing. Everybody was bowing to the music. Everybody was listening to this kind of music. But they understood it's not of God. It's not pleasing to God. And so they just stood while everybody else was bowing down. They just stood. And you know what? When you stand, you're going to get thrown in the fiery furnace. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be persecuted. But I'm telling you what, we've got to come to a place in our life where we say, I want the will of God in my life. I want to fulfill God's will in my life. I'm not interested in a pat on the back from a group of people. I'm interested in the praises of God in my life. I'm interested in hearing Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Anybody else feel that way this morning? Yeah. Amen. And it makes things very interesting when we talk about nonconformity, and it gets very complicated at times. And there are times that the lines become gray. Folks that have this black and white concept of living for God don't really understand what it means to live for God, because everything is not black and white. There are some gray areas. And it's why we need to seek the will of God in all areas and pray diligently and ask God to show us what His will would be in some of these areas. Amen. It's up to leadership to determine the course of our standards using biblical principles as the guide. Amen. We don't go to conferences to get our measures of holiness. We don't go to conferences to get our measure of the will of God. I need to say that this morning. I really do. And I'm not being critical of others, but where we get our understanding of holiness and separation from the world, we get it right here in our local church. And we get it from our parents. We get it from spiritual leadership. Amen. And so that covers everything. It covers the young people, the children, and it covers mom and dad. Amen. And we're striving for holiness. We're not laying down the law, so to speak. And this is the way it is. Amen. We need to each one of us pray diligently and look at the Word of God. And it's all right to say, Pastor, why? It's all right to say, Mom and Dad, why? It's all right, because we need to understand what it is that is in the Word of God in these areas. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for the church, and thank God for your parents. Amen. And parents, if I could just say this morning, you need to be wise and patient when dealing with your children. Praise God, because it's too, some have looked at everything in the world as being evil and forbid your children from doing anything and everything. Amen. But what we need to do is seek out the will of God and find an alternative for our children and our young people. Amen, so that we can serve the Lord with joy and happiness, so that it will be an exciting adventure for our future as young people, as our for our families. Amen. And so we need to be careful. Amen. And we should seek the will of God with happiness and joy, not with a burden and grievous. Because the Bible says that the commandments of God are not grievous. They are not grievous. They're exciting. And how can those commandments, those negative commandments that say, thou shalt not, how can that be exciting? How can that be something that is not grievous? Well, the only way that I know is you have to look at it for yourself, and you have to understand why God commanded that. Why did God command, thou shalt not kill? Oh, well, I really want to go out and kill. Well, then you got a problem. Why did he say that? Because it's morally not right for one person to take another person's life away from them. God gave them that life, and he's the only one that can take it back. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I won't get into all of that this morning, but the spirit of adultery is the spirit of covenant breaking and thievery. And so that's why the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Oh, but my neighbor, they've got a nice four-wheeler I'd like to have. And I could steal it and send off the serial numbers and repaint it, and I'll have myself a little four-wheeler I can ride around. Or I can take a pair of pliers from my boss, or I can steal something, put it in my back pocket or my lunch bucket. And dear God, help us. It happens all the time. It really does. Why is it wrong to steal? You need to figure that out. Amen. Thief loves to steal, but he really gets angry when somebody steals from him. And so, it's very important that we understand the principle. And once we understand the principle, then it's exciting and it's not grievous. We don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I can't steal anymore. We say, thank God I'm free from that spirit of thievery. Thank God I don't have to look over my shoulder wherever I go. Thank God I don't have to flee when nobody's even chasing me. When I'm trying to cover my tracks and I make myself so obvious, living that kind of a life, dear God, help us. You know, the same is true for lying. Do you know the Bible says that all liars are going to be lost? Oh, well, I can't tell any lies. What am I going to do when I'm backed up against the wall? Well, what you need to do is learn the principle of why it's wrong to tell a lie. Then you'll say, man, I don't have to lie anymore. I just tell the truth. And then I'm clean. Everything's okay. I've told the truth, and nobody can come against me. Amen. And so it's very, very important for us this morning. Let me check, see what the time is. Some of y'all look like you're ready for me to finish here. Almost ready to finish this morning. But we've got to be careful the way we present it to our children, mom and dad. Amen. Because living for God is exciting. And then when we get to this place, Paul said to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that we may prove the will of God, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so what we need is a renewing of our mind. And the renewing of our mind comes when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and we strive for holiness, which is our reasonable service, and we are not conformed to this world. When you get all of that negative stuff out of your mind, when you get all that worldly stuff out of your mind, Brother Green preached on that several times. Amen. The eye is the gateway to the soul. The ears affect your soul. The things that we take in, the things that we touch, the things that we look at, we listen to, there's no way that we can be spiritual and find the will of God when everything that comes into us is worldly, it's not spiritual, it doesn't have any real meaning for our future, and our mind is just swirling with all of these thoughts and everything. I'm telling you what, we've got to have a transformed mind. And the only way that the will of God is going to be proven in our life, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, is that we have a transformed mind. God, my whole focus of my life is to please you. And then when we please God, then who was it that walked with God? He pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. It was Enoch. And Enoch was translated. Do you think when Enoch was praying for the will of God, he was saying, oh God, catch me up into heaven. I just want to be translated. No, I don't think he was praying for that at all. He walked with God and he pleased God. And every day that Enoch got up, he said, God, I want to please you today. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the will of God. That's the will of God for your life today. It's really very practical and it's very simple this morning, but I want to please you with my mind. I want to please you with my heart. I want to please you with my soul. I want to please you with my strength. Everything I'm doing today, I want it to please you. And then one day, whoosh, he's gone. I'm sure Noah was going to his prayer closet, and Noah was saying, oh God, I just got this feeling inside of me. Wood, nails, hammers, saws. I don't know what it means, but I've got this mystical, I've been having dreams about sawing logs. I've been having dreams about water. I don't know what it all means. But it's got to mean something. And we go into spooky, mystical, oh, the will of God. What is the will of God? But no, the Bible says Noah walked with God. When he got up in the morning, he said, God, am I pleasing to you? And if I'm not, I'm going to take care of that because today I want to be pleasing in your sight. He walked with God. He did the will of God. The will of God was to be pleasing to God. The will of God was to present himself as a living sacrifice. Lord, whatever you want me to do in my life. He was 600 years old when the floods came. Took 120 years roughly to build the ark. So he was 480 years old when he started building the ark when God called him. And so for 480, what did he do for 480 years? The Bible doesn't tell us that he did anything except he walked with God. Well, praise the Lord. He just walked with God. He was happy just being in that relationship with his God. I'm just happy being a Christian today. I don't have to do great and mighty things. I don't have to go great places and preach to millions and millions. Amen. There's one young man that I tried to pastor. He said, I had a dream and God called me to preach, and I was in front of this big crowd, and I went like this with my hand, and everybody was slain in the spirit. Sounds like Benny Hinn. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. They did one time at one of his meetings, a lady went up there and she said she had a certain disease, and he prayed for her and she fell out, and she was rejoicing that she was completely healed, and they found out later it was a sham, and he was prophesying over her and all of these kinds of things. I'm telling you what, folks, that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. That's not the way God works. Amen. God works when we present ourselves as a sacrifice. You never hear these people talking about repentance, do you? You never hear them saying you're living in sin and you're going to be lost if you don't repent right now. You know why? Because they wouldn't have the big crowds. The people wouldn't come. They wouldn't give them their money. They wouldn't support them and their ministry. They wouldn't become a media member. Oh, we've got 50,000 in our church. You know, in a little chapel about this size. Oh, they're all media members. Well, you can have your media members. You know what we need? We need a pastor close by that when our kid's sick, we can call him and he'll come to the house and pray for him. We need to hear the word of God directly from a man of God. Amen. We need somebody that can focus in on our life. Amen. Jimmy Swagger's not going to focus in on your life. I'm already in trouble. Might as well just go all the way. Praise God. I'm not gonna write a letter to the Vatican and say, do I have permission or whatever? No. I'll tell you what, I need my local church right here. That's the will of God. I said, that's the will of God right there. Oh, God, what does that mean? Logs and lumber and water all of that. Build a boat. No, that's not what it... That's not how it happened. He was used to talking to God. God said, Noah, I've got something I want you to do. I want you to build an ark to the saving of your house. 450, 1.5 football fields long. The one we're going to see is over 500 feet long. Built by a man and his three sons. Wow, that's pretty awesome. But where did he come from? Where did that all come from? Came with just walking with God. Why did God come to Abraham and say, I'm going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Why is it that I'm not going to hide what I'm going to do with my friend? Oh, he was a friend of God. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. You know what? The greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is to become a friend with God. Just be God's friend. How do I do that? Well, you know what? We can't be friends if you keep lying. Okay, I'm going to stop lying because you're the best friend I could ever have. I want to be your friend. Well, praise the Lord. You know what? I want you as my friend, but you know, you're cussing too much. Not too much, but you're cussing, saying those filthy, dirty words. I don't like to hang around people like that. That's what God will say, because God is holy. You know what, God? I'm really sorry. I present myself to you, God. I want to please you. I want to be your friend. And so I'm going to get rid of that. Am I making sense this morning? It's so practical that we miss it. Oh, well, I feel, I saw a vision with the Bible in my hand, and I was speaking, and God's called me to preach. Well, I'll tell you what this morning, the greatest thing you'll ever do is be a Christian, because you're not going to be measured by how many people you win to God. You're not going to be measured by how many churches you build and how many people you minister to. But it's going to come down right to the bottom line. Do you know God? Are you walking with God? Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. And it'll apply to a Cornelius. Now listen to this morning. This is so practical. You don't even have to have the Holy Ghost to do this. Cornelius didn't have the Holy Ghost. He was not saved. The Holy Ghost hadn't even been poured out to the Gentiles. And what was he doing with his time? What was he doing with his life? God, I want to be pleasing to you. Is there anybody here this morning that has had an angel dispatched to you? And the angel said, your prayers and your alms are come up as a memorial before God? No, I don't think so. Anybody? No. This man didn't have the Holy Ghost. This man was not saved because the angel said, go send for Simon Peter. He will tell you words whereby you and your house can be saved. That's Acts chapter 11. I think around verse 13 or 14 or 15. You're not saved, Cornelius. But God has heard your prayers. God has heard your prayers. And I'm telling you what, I'm at the place in my life I just want to get closer to God. All of this other stuff is just stuff. All of the other things are just things. And they have the potential to sidetrack me. They have the potential to move me off of this will of God for my life. I know it's the will of God that I'm preaching, and I discovered that early on, but I'm telling you this morning, that's not the highest calling. The highest calling is to be God's friend and to walk with God, to give your life as a living sacrifice and to strive for holiness. Praise the Lord. And salvation came. You know why it was so easy for him to get the Holy Ghost? Because he was ready. He had already been talking to God. He didn't have to have somebody build him up into it. And then when it was all said and done, oh, what happened? No, while Peter spoke the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Nobody had even talked to him about the Holy Ghost, as far as Scripture tells us, but he received God. Amen. He went right directly into the will of God. Amen. And if we can receive it this morning, it is exactly the same in the life of the Apostle Paul. Even while he was killing Christians, there was something down deep in his heart. I want to please God. And if you've got that in your heart, you'll be just as surprised as Noah was when God said, build the ark. And you'll be just as surprised when God speaks to you and says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. I can't believe this. I just can't believe this. This is just something else. I just cannot understand where this came from. But I'm willing to do it. And notice, Noah went and built the ark. Notice, Abraham rose up early in the morning to offer his sacrifice, his son as a sacrifice. And notice that the Apostle Paul, when lying on the ground blinded, he said, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? Whatever you tell me to do, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Are we willing to do that this morning? I know it's real quiet right now, but I'm telling you what, there's some that would say, no, I'm really not willing to do that because I've got my mind made up what I'm going to do. But folks, we've got to find the will of God for our lives. Are you listening this morning, young people? You've got to find the will of God for your life. And the will of God will always, always fit into the category that we're talking about here this morning. Praise the Lord. The will of God was proved in them. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? We're going to finish here. And the will of God will be proved in you. The will of God will be proved in me if we'll just simply seek to be pleasing in the sight of God and do His will. Amen. We'll find that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I just need to ask you today, are you seeking for God's will in your life? If you are, stand with me this morning. Praise the Lord. I love to just spend some time teaching the Word of God, going over some basic principles. Praise the Lord. I used to pray when I was younger, when I was a young Christian, and I didn't really have an understanding. I would go to the church and pray. I'd be praying at midnight, and I'd pray into the wee hours of the night. And it got to the place where I said, God, send an angel. I want to see an angel. Lord, let an angel come into the church right now. And, of course, it was some of you know what that church looked like. Platform was up here, and there was two big old holes, one over here and one over here, and it went down into the dark basement. And at midnight, it was very dark down in there. And very spooky. I don't know if I could have handled an angel. I don't know if I would have survived the situation if God would have answered my prayer. But you know what? All those times that I prayed, God, send an angel, He never sent an angel. Not a literal angel, but He did send an angel. And every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night in special services, there was an angel that stepped up to the pulpit, and that angel said, this is the Word of God. And he began to preach the Word of God. And I found out later that the will of God was to just hear the Word of God and to do it and to be happy just to be in the kingdom of God. Are you happy just to be in the kingdom of God this morning? I'm just happy to be in the church, just happy to be able to live for God, so excited about having the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Don't even ask me, are you going to be there tonight for church? Don't even ask the question. It does not apply. N/A. Not applicable. Well, I'll come around if I feel like it. Well, I'm not really sure. I'm going to have to check my schedule. I'm just really not sure at this point. Oh, God, help us. Every time I can be in the house of God to worship God, to feel the powers of the world to come, amen. I'm not going to park myself in front of my computer. I'm not going to park myself in front of a television. I'm not going to park myself in front of the world. I'm not going to go there when it's time to worship my God. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. I want to see visions like Daniel. All right, then start praying three times a day. Hallelujah. Oh, well, I don't have time for that. My schedule won't allow that. Well, praise God. I want to be like Ezekiel. I want to see those visions that went all the way into the book of Revelation. All those things and all those angels. And I want to see that. Well, then what you need to do is go down by the river and start confessing your sins. Because that's what Ezekiel was doing. You read in the book of Ezekiel, I was down by the river and I was confessing my sins. Here's the prophet. Here's the man of God. He's confessing his sins. What did he do? It's none of our business. Pastor, what have you done? It's none of your business. What have you done? It's none of my business. Praise God. I was down by the river confessing my sins and the sins of my fathers. Wow. My daddy did this. My mama did this. Boy, don't you touch that, preacher. Don't you go there. But that's what Ezekiel was doing. And all of a sudden he fell into a trance. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God began to speak to him. And what a wonderful book we have in the book of Ezekiel. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. And he began to describe all of these things. I'm like, wow, wow. He found the will of God. He found the mind of God. But it wasn't because he woke up one morning and said, I'm going to be a prophet. Get on the internet, prophet schools. Oh, there's one near to me. Click. Call. Click. Yes, I want to be a prophet. When does your school open? How much does it cost? $100? I'm going to go to one that's free. Yes, I want to be a prophet. When could I sign up for your prophet school? Is it free? It's free. I'm going to be there. And then when we're done with our prophet school, we put a little tag on prophet. I've been to prophet school. I'm a prophet. I'm fulfilling the will of God. We had one that come here to our church. Prophet. Amen. I'm a prophet. I've got the gift of healing. And they tried to lay hands on some of our new converts. And we stopped them before they could do that. Dear God, help us. We don't need that spirit on the new converts. Be healed. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to drop some ashes on you there. Praise God. Well, I'm a prophet. I said, ma'am, you're not a prophet. Well, I've got the gift of healing. I said, you don't have the gift of healing. Well, yes, I do. I said, how do you? She said, how do you know? I said, prophets don't smoke cigarettes. And all of a sudden, this love religion turned to vehement anger. She said, I'll never be back. And in the back of my mind, I thought, thank God. Thank God. Let her go somewhere else, Lord, where they've got a better pastor that can deal with these things. Because I can't handle this. I'm just looking for somebody that loves Jesus. I'm not looking for somebody that wants to be a prophet or somebody that wants to move crowds and somebody that wants to do great things. Just looking for somebody that'll just say, I want to live for God. I just want to be pleasing to God. I just want to go to heaven. I want to hear him say, well done. That's my goal. That's my, oh, praise God. Anybody with me on that this morning? That's all I'm looking for out of life. Praise God. Because I've come to understand. I told you I'm going to finish and I'm finishing. But I've come to understand that 99% of everything I preach, you forget. Can anybody tell me what I preached Wednesday night? Elizabeth, she doesn't remember. You remember, Hunter? He don't remember. Sister Wurst, do you remember? All right, there's two of you. Woo! Isaac remembers. There's three. That's wonderful. That's 3 days ago. Anybody remember what I preached two Wednesdays ago? Did I preach? All right, does anybody remember what Brother Green preached 2 Wednesdays ago? See, I don't even remember when I preached. This is not good. To be honest with you, come Wednesday, I'll almost forget what I preached on Sunday. What's the most important thing then? Live for God. Do the Word of God. Seek to please God with your life, because when it's all said and done, all these things are not going to be important anymore. Let's lift our hands right now and let's talk to the Lord together. Jesus, I love you. Lord, I want my life to be pleasing in your sight. I want to hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. For all of the former things are going to be forgotten. All of the things that we have accomplished in this life are going to pass away. The only thing that is going to come into eternity is he that doeth the will of God. He that does the will of God. Every young person that does the will of God. Every mom and dad that does the will of God. Every church that seeks to do the will of God. Those are the only things that are going to abide forever. Help us this morning. Touch us this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.